Thank you for so many of you being here. Bob would be happy to know that. I'm Rob, and I've been attending Wellspring with Bob for many years. We're here to celebrate the life of Robert Heiss Sr. I have a hard time saying that because he's always been Bob. I've known Bob for 50 years. If you look at your program, there's something unique on this program that I have not seen, well, that I rarely see. Bob has hair. I've known him for 50 years, and he's always shaved his head. I never knew, well, I saw their wedding picture, so I shouldn't say that. So it was a good picture and a good choice, Linda. Good job. We're going to remember differently for each of us, but we do thank God for his life as we celebrate the faith, his faith in our Savior Jesus Christ and the hope that Jesus gives to each of us. Bob, as you know, was a father, grandfather, great-grandfather, shipmate, colleague at EB, friend, brother in Christ. He was a fellow elder with me. And as many have said, he was one of the good guys. You know, he wasn't famous. He didn't invent anything. He didn't cure cancer, and most of the world didn't notice the end of his earthly journey. But he changed the world. I don't know about you, but he probably changed your world. He certainly changed mine. Because of Bob, my life was more abundant. There was more hope. I had a smile in my face more often as I saw him sit right there on Sunday. He helped me realize that I'm part of a wonderful family of God. He reminded me that as fellow travelers on an earthly journey, each of us needs one another, and that often God demonstrates his love through people. He even used Bob, you, and me to give real hugs. Those of you who know Bob the longest and who have the closest relationship will have them feel the loss the greatest. Bob, Linda, Jim, you've known them your whole life for many years. And as you get to know somebody and build that relationship, you lean on each other. And when one of them's not there, you're still leaning. So you feel that loss more than perhaps the rest of us. Your minds understand it's better for Bob. As one gravestone said, 'tis better further on. But your heart still feels sad. For all of us, there'll be a mixture of joy for Bob and sadness on our part because we will miss him. Our desire today is to remember him and to see what God did with a life yielded to a Lord. As we remember Bob, his life is not just a testimony about him, but it's about your impact on his life as well. You don't realize this, but this program was planned 20 years ago. Bob had had surgery on his heart. He had some medical problems. His memory wasn't perfect. And Joan decided, and I guess talking to Bob, that the family felt that Bob wasn't going to be here much longer. And so she suggested that he put together what he wanted at his funeral and memorial service. And he gave me an envelope with essentially the information that's in this program in there. Well, I hung on to that for 10 years. Then I gave it back to Bob and said, I guess we calculated it wrong, and you may want to change this. But you know, what it showed me is what love and care and the impact one person can have on the life of another person. And that was Linda. Linda made all the difference. And so we celebrate not just Bob, but Linda's and others who have done so much in Bob's life. So if we should commit our time to the Lord, and then we'll continue. Let's pray. Our Lord, our hearts are sad because we miss Bob, and there's a sense of peace and comfort and encouragement that Bob's in a better place. No more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. There's a reminder of the empty seat at home or here in our church, the missing conversation that we would have enjoyed or the phone call that we would have gotten, the laughs that we had together. But we're thankful today that we know that even though we are separated from him, many of us will see him again. Today we want to acknowledge you as Lord and God of all comfort. You came to heal the brokenhearted, and we ask that you would comfort the family, all who grieve in the midst of their loss. We pray you will be their rock, their hiding place, their refuge, and their strength. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As you will see, that sub-vets are going to now come up, and the honor guard is going to do their ceremony. Bob would have been thrilled, and thank you for arranging that.
Serve as a constant source of motivation towards greater accomplishments, to pledge loyalty and patriotism to the United States of America and its Constitution.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you. Thank you, Joe. I will provide some words of remembrance. Now, I have never met Bob. None of us ever sailed with Bob, but he was qualified in submarines, which brings us all together. Robert joined the United States Navy in 1945 when he was 17 years old. After basic training, Robert was assigned to USS Matabasset, an oiler which was stationed in post-war Japan and Korea. He had enough of that and volunteered for the submarines, and after submarine school, he was ordered to USS Dogfish, SS-350. He qualified for submarines in 1949 His understudy did the lineup, and Bob didn't check it. So what happened was when they pressurized and blew the sanitaries, the valve lineup wasn't right, and they blew it all onto the mess deck. It was a messy situation, but Bob took the ownership for the problem because he didn't check the lineup, and the crew got to eat up on the pier while Bob disinfected the whole mess deck. But that's how he was. That was his integrity that stood tall that day. After his tour on Dogfish, he was assigned to USS Sardar, SS 488, and finally to USS Rutherkin, a destroyer escort DE-228. He retired from the United States Navy in 1965 as a QM-1SS. After retirement, Bob continued to support the submarine force, working for Electric Boat, building submarines for 25 years before he retired. He joined the Subvest Groton base as a life member in 2024 and was inducted into the prestigious Holland Club that year. Now, what Holland Club is a group, a subgroup of our Subvest organization where the minimum requirement is to be qualified in submarines for 50 or more years. And all the men that I'm with, I'm the kid, they're all Holland Club members, and they've all been qualified for 50 or more years. The Creed of the United States Submarine Veterans states that we are to perpetuate the memory of our shipmates, and it is when we forget what he brought to the table and we no longer use his name or share our memories of them that they will truly die. We will keep Bob's memory alive. We will now give our farewell salute and last order. Detail, attend hut, right about turn, and salute. There is a port of no return where ships may ride at anchor for a little space, and some starless night the cable slips, leaving only an eddy at the mooring place. Gulls, veer no longer. Sailor, rest your oar. No tangled wreckage will be washed ashore. Shipmate Robert Heist, rest your oar. Right about turn. We'll now have our closing prayer. Detail, uncover. Two. Prayer position.
Dear God, we approach you once again in this hour of sorrow. We are grateful for this life of the one we honor here today. In the days that lay ahead, we are saddened when we think of our loss, yet we rejoice in the fact that Robert is at peace, free from pain and sorrow, and safe in the everlasting arms of your love. May the awareness of your comforting presence remain with his family, his friends, and each of us, for we believe that you are with us always. Amen.
Amen.
was very nice.
Yes, it was.
Now, in your program, there should be words to the songs that we're going to sing. John will come up and lead us in the song. I think enough of us know the tune and everything. Best laid plans. Our person who is going to play the music is here, but the music machine is not here. And so
it's here.
It's here, but it's not functional. And we did check it. But nonetheless, the words are there. I think most of us, or many of us, know the tune. So if you don't, just sing along with us. And I'm a no tone, so I sing wherever I want. John?
The song we're going to sing is "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus." These songs are songs that the songs we're singing are songs that Bob requested be sung. As Rob just said, he wrote out everything quite a number of years ago, and he requested more songs than we're going to sing today. But this is one of them. "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus." I know that Bob really felt that way. So we'll sing a cappella as best we can. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so kind and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. Let's sing the third verse on that. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Thanks, John. Forgot to ask Linda what version of the Bible Bob used.
God bless you.
So you're going to get whatever version I happen to have on here. His life verse was Joshua 24:15, and it says, "If it is desirable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord." Do-si-do, John. The next thought is Jesus. The next song is Jesus, the very thought of thee.
Jesus, the very thought of thee. Once again, we'll be singing a cappella. Jesus, the very thought of thee, with sweetness fills my breast. But better far thy face to see. No voice can sing, no voice.
Tim is going to come up and read the eulogy and Bob's obituary.
I guess it's still morning. Can you hear me? All right. Linda, Bob, James, family. I don't know Bob as long as you have. I moved here about 4 years ago, but I got to know Bob and spent time with him. Let's read the obituary. Robert Perry Heiss, Sr. Robert Perry Heiss, Sr. of 252 Old Canterbury Turnpike, Norwich, Connecticut, went home to his Lord on Saturday, April 11th, 2026. Bob was born October 3rd, 1927, in Norristown, Pennsylvania. In 1945, he married his sweetheart, Joan Michener. They were married for 65 years and had four children. He served in the United States Navy for 20 years, entering in 1945, and was honorably discharged in 1965. His highest rank was quartermaster. He was employed 25 years at Electric Boat Company, working in weight engineering. As his children were growing up, Bob was active in Boy Scouts, was a basketball coach for the Ledyard Boys League, and umpired baseball. He served as the Lord led him at the Groton Bible Chapel and here at Wellspring Bible Fellowship. Bob was an active member of the Sub-Veterans Club of Groton, Connecticut, and an avid Huskies women's basketball follower. Disappointing, though, I got to say. Sorry about that. He is survived by his daughter, Linda Heist, of Norwich, Connecticut, sons Bob Jr., Janice Heist of Port St. Lucie, Florida, James and Betty Heist of Norwich, Connecticut, Charlene Heist, daughter-in-law, 9 grandchildren and many great-grandchildren. Bob was preceded in death by Joan, his wife of 65 years, son Frank Heist, and his second wife, Claire Tremblay Heist. Rob had asked me, Perlinda's kind of indicated that she'd like to have a eulogy. Now, just know, as Bob was declining in health, I would visit him. And one of the things I had asked him when he stepped into eternity, one of the things I asked him, I said, "Hey, Bob, what's the first thing you're going to say to Jesus when you see him?" And Bob was, I think he was laying in his bed, and he was frail. But what Bob said, he said, "I love you." That was his first response. Strange response? Nah. The Bible says in 1 Peter 8:4, "And though you've not seen him, you love him, and though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice." You know, our brother Rob talked about Bob making a preparation for this service. He had written it out, and Linda and I went through it. And he wanted his memorial to be, service to be a certain way, and one request was that the gospel would be shared for those in attendance who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Today I'm honoring his request. Okay? When you read the gospel accounts of Jesus, there's many times that Jesus is sitting at table, eating with people. And there's other times he talks about the great marriage supper of the Lamb to come. In this particular story, Jesus was invited into the house of a Pharisee, Simon. And Simon was a self-righteous, kind of a holier-than-thou type of fella. And back then, when you sat and ate at somebody's house, they had sort of like couches that you would, the table would be in front of you, and you'd be on your, probably on your elbow, feeding yourself. And your feet were outside the table, okay? Well, they're sitting having a meal, and this woman, unnamed woman, she comes in, and she's at the feet of Jesus. And she starts to weep. And her tears drop on his feet, and she wipes his feet with her hair, and then she anoints his feet with perfume. And of course, the self-righteous Pharisee said, if you only knew what type of woman that was, you'd understand that she's a sinner. You wouldn't let her touch you. And he doesn't say that, but that's what he was thinking. Because they believed that you could become unclean by touching someone unclean. And then Jesus said, you know, let me tell you a story, Simon. The Lord was great at taking that moment. He said, I'll tell you the story about a moneylender. He goes, there was a moneylender that had two debtors. One owed him 500, the other owed him 50. Now, in today, if I take that using $20 as the basis, it was $80,000 versus $8,000. However, they couldn't pay him. Neither of them had the means to repay him the debt that was due. So you guess what? He graciously forgave them both. Okay? And the Lord asked him a strange question, didn't he? He said, which one do you think would love the moneylender the most? And Simon, he said, he answered correctly. He said, the one whom he forgave most. You know, so when Bob answered my question, what is the first thing you're going to say to Jesus with, I love you? It's easier to understand it in the light of that verse, isn't it? It's easy to understand it in the light of that verse. And you know, further on in that section of Scripture, the Lord says, your sins are forgiven thee. He says, go now, your faith has saved you. Yes, we learn about God's love because we learn that he is a God who forgives. During the Korean War, there was a young corporal killed at Sniper's Ridge on June 11th while repelling Chinese hostiles. He received both a Purple Heart and a Silver Star posthumously for his bravery during the hand-to-hand fighting. His personal effects were sent to his father, and among those effects, there was a little black testament in the Psalms. And the only verse that was marked and was circled in pencil in that Bible was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes. Bob understood God's love, that he had sent Jesus into the Son to the world for him. And it says in 1 John 4:10, it's not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the sacrifice for us. And now we can love because he first loved us. Okay? Today, you know, we have these things here. And one of the remarkable things, you know, I remember as a kid, the Tracy, what is that? the guy Tracy in the comic books, can't think of his name, the detective. He could speak on his watch to someone else and they could look at each other. And so I suppose it's FaceTime or Zoom. But suppose today, bear with me with a little bit of imagination, but let's say that we could FaceTime Bob in heaven. What do you think he would say? This is speculation, but it's speculation based on what the scripture teaches. My guess, the first thing he would say is, I've seen the face of Jesus. And you know, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he went in and he appeared, and Thomas, the doubter, wasn't there, was he? And what did Thomas say? He said, you know, I want to touch those hands and put where the nails pierced him and put my hand in his side. And a week later, the Lord appeared to him. But I could just imagine Bob saying this. I've seen the place in his hands where the nails pierced him. I've seen that place. Because, you know, that's forever a memorial for Christians. Those that know the Lord, that he'll be like that in heaven. He'll be represented like that in heaven. And I'm sure, because sometimes we can't put into human words, but he would say it's indescribable how much he loves me. He proved it all, didn't he, when he died for us. But what does it say? Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man all the things that God has prepared for those that love him. And there was a verse that Bob wanted to in his verses. I didn't use them all, but it's Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Verse 19 says, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. The gospel is an invitation, isn't it, to know his love. Okay? Because God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world be saved through him. You know, the invitation is as simple as this. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins and forgiving me so that I won't perish but have everlasting life that you promised. You know, it says in Psalm 23, Bob is dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Brother?
I'm not sure everybody that wants to share in the family, but I at least know there are some. I'm not sure the order was decided, so you can let me know, Linda, who's up and who's not up. And
I want to thank everybody for coming. I was doing my devotions a week or so ago, and I read these verses, and it made me... I was going to get through this. It made me think of what Dad would have said in his deathbed, and I realized part of it is in the thing. I say this because I won't be... Thanks. I say this because I won't be around to help you very much longer. My time has almost run out. Very soon... Very soon now, I will be on my way to heaven. I have thought long and hard for my Lord, and through it all... Sorry, can't see now. I have fought long and hard for my Lord, and through it all I have kept true to him. And now the time has come for me to stop fighting and rest. In heaven, a crown is waiting for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that great day of his return, and not just to me, but to all those whose lives show that they are eagerly looking forward to his coming back again. And that was my dad. He was my hero. And I truly miss him. But he's in heaven with Mom, and he's happy, and he's not in pain anymore. And again, I thank you all for coming. Okay. You can go.
I also would like to thank everyone. Dad, you never met a stranger. He had many friends. And he was a good man. And like Linda said, he's with Mom. And he's at peace. He had a good life. And we're all proud of him. Okay, come on. Thank you very much.
When I met Dad, I was so nervous, but him and Mom couldn't have been more gracious. Here are a few things I will always remember about Dad. Dad was a soft talker. My hearing is pretty good, but I still had to lean in to hear him. This didn't work so well with Frank or Jim. Both have a little trouble hearing, so they both would have to lean in so they could hear what he had to say. Perhaps this was Dad's way of secretly making his loved ones come a little closer. Dad loved his faith, his family, and food. I was amazed at how much he could eat and not get huge. Perhaps it was from walking the dog back in the day on Washington Street. He said hi to everybody. And Jim and I nicknamed him the Mayor of Washington Street. And another favorite memory was when Rob Davis helped me initiate getting Dad at the sub vets to join him in the Holland Club. It's for those, as you heard, that qualify 50 years after they're qualified, they can become the Holland member. It brought tears to my eyes when they inducted him and two other fellas that were a little older than Dad, and Dad was 97. And Dad joked that he was the youngster of the bunch and would have to behave and his favorite thing other than food was his yellow hat that he earned. That hat right there. So in closing, I would like to thank all those who celebrate Dad's life and find comfort in his peace from the pain. And I know Mom and Frank have a familiar face in heaven. Love you, Pop.
Just so you know, that was Linda who talked first. I know you know that. Then it was Bob, and it's Betty. And now, Jim. So you can keep them straight.
I'm going to ask for a preemptive forgiveness if I struggle with this or go off script. I'd like to thank you all who are here to remember my dad. And those of you who didn't know my dad, but came to support and comfort my brothers and sister and their families, I would also like to extend my deepest gratitude to the Mystic Highlanders and the Subvets organization for volunteering their services today. Although my dad was a member of the Subvets for a short time, I could tell how proud he was to be part of such an elite group of shipmates. A few weeks ago, my sister Linda was going through a box of mementos and came upon a note. That that my brother Frank wrote. To Dad on a Christmas many years ago. I'd like to read it. I feel it expresses exactly how my brother Bob and Sister Linda and myself felt about Dad. Dad, I want you to know how proud I am to call you my father. It is because of you that I have the moral compass, the work ethic, and the constant feeling of responsibility to family that I have. You have always led by example, and I want you to know your lessons were heard. You cared for my mother to the very end, and you'll never know the appreciation I feel for that. Neither my brothers or Linda and I ever wanted for anything. We have never talked about your military career and what you endured during your service. However, I want you to know I'm so very proud of you for serving. I inherited my quiet nature from you, and so happy I did. I have modeled my style after you. These physical gifts that we exchange at Christmas are really meaningless to me compared to the time spent with family. Dad, I love you, and I am so very proud of you. Look, Frank. Here's the off-script part. I can't let this moment go without expressing my amazing gratitude to my sister, Linda. She cared for Dad not for months, not for years, but for decades. And he was with us as long as he was because of her. He always knew that he was loved, and he always knew that he was safe. No one may have ever cared for Dad more than Jesus, but Linda ran a close second.
Are there other family members that I don't know that would like to share? I know. I'm crying too. I knew this would be tough. Are there other people here that would like to share something? Do you want to come up? Are you good enough at that? I can give you the microphone otherwise. All right. And if you tell us who you are, yes, and how you know Bob.
Yes, hi. I'm George Tremblay. I'm the oldest son of Claire, Bob's second wife. The good news is they met after, you know, they both had full lives. I met Bob in this room some years ago on his wedding day with my mother. Previous to that, my mother calls, and we're talking before that, and she says, George, got to tell you something. I'm going to get married. You know, and this is in her 80s. And I said, great, Mom, you know. And she said, I got to ask you a couple of things. Will you come to the wedding? I said, of course I'll come to the wedding. You know, and then she said, well, will you walk me down the aisle? And I said, of course, sure, happy to do it. And then she says, well, one more. Will you say a few words about us? And I said, sure, Mom, I'd be happy to, but I haven't met him. So the week before the wedding, on a phone call, I interview him. I said, so tell me about yourself, Robert. And he says, well, my first 20-something years, I was in the Navy and, you know, served the country. I said, great. My second 20-something years, I worked for Electric Boat. And actually, that's where my mom and he had met. They both worked in the same weight division, I guess. And then he says, and I've got one more job. I said, yeah, what's that? He says, well, I've got to take care of your mother. And I said, okay. So I'm sharing that today as well. And on behalf of the Tremblay family and my sisters and everybody, we just want to thank Bob for for doing that. Thank you.
Others? Well, you can imagine, I'll turn on the other mic. You can imagine in 50 years I got to know Bob pretty well. We went through a lot of things together and talked a lot. We would often sit, he'd pick the room. Sometimes it was in the den. The den was the lighthouse room, lighthouse books, lighthouses everywhere. And then he had some books about war and the Navy. But Linda found this gadget, or his boys found this gadget, that you could supercharge the TV because he couldn't hear it under the normal sound. Well, he told me the day before the neighbor had said the TV was too loud. And so we had to move to different rooms. We would go in the living room, which is that often misnamed and seldom used living room, and sit there where there were more things everywhere. Or we'd sit on the porch, and we'd watch the cars go by, and we'd talk about the people. But we always talked about was things he had learned in the paper, that was for sure. We talked about things that he had seen on TV, like the UConn girls basketball team. And he did the same thing when we went back and forth from Norwich to Fairview, which many of you made that trip with him too. He told you about the fishing holes. He told you what was going on with National Pequot. But he always talked about the boys and Linda, always. He always told you what was going on and what he's praying for them and what was happening in their life and would I pray for this or would I pray for that. And many of you he often talked about and asked if we'd pray for Andy and Shannon and others. I feel like I've met most of the family already because of how many times Bob and I prayed for you. Bob was certainly faithful in that. What I got out of Bob's life is I never saw him in 50 years upset, mad, or anxious. He was always calm, at peace, relaxed, and restful. Now, I didn't see him all the time, and maybe you saw a different part of him, but Bob just seemed unruffled, that life didn't seem to bother him too much. As you heard, he was faithful, and he was a finisher. He raised a wonderful family, as you heard. He went through EB without any difficulty and was well known there. He did the same in the Navy. He would come to the fellowship on days, well, we'd hear on Monday, Bob isn't doing well, and by Sunday he'd be sitting in the second row there, and he'd be fine. He loved the Lord, and he loved the Lord's people, and he would do whatever. If he had a crawl here, I think he would have crawled here. Many of you drove him here, and many of you served him in other ways. But Bob was a finisher. And as it said in his program, it says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race. And that was Bob. In his Christian faith, that was what he wanted to do. Bob realized that life was a series of choices. You know, he was through some hard times, some very difficult times. Oh, good times, too. Linda would come down with the dog, and he'd feed the dog ice cream. He loved dogs. The dog, they had a dog who they loved very much, Nappy, and one day he got out and didn't make it to the other side of the road. That was hard for Bob. Joan died. That was even harder for Bob because he thought he was going to go first. Claire passed away, and then Frank. Frank was, I know it bothered him, but you know what? He was calm, and Susan gave me two quotes that he had told her. Soon after Joan died, he said the following, "Knowing God is in control puts you at ease." He said that to encourage Susan and whatever they were talking about. And then she had been talking to him about something impossible. And his answer was, "All I can say, Susan, is he never lets you down." And I think Bob knew that his whole life, that that's how he lived. There were hard things, and it doesn't mean that they don't still hurt and they don't still cause pain to people, but he heals it, he softens it. But Bob made choices. He chose to marry Joan. Good choice, number one. He chose to go in the Navy, and he was faithful there. He chose to work at EB, and he chose when to retire and just use his life as a service to other people. But in 1970s, he heard at some point a choice he had to make. He heard that there was somebody called Jesus Christ, that somebody who said he was the Son of God, somebody who they said died on a cross and rose again. And he wondered, there's so much bad stuff in the world. Why does God let that happen, perhaps? Or maybe he wondered, gee, how come people don't care about one another and there's evil around? But what he came to the conclusion was there was really only one answer he had to do, only one thing he had to come up with. He said, what I really had to decide was, did Jesus Christ really live? Did he really die? And did he rise from the dead? And then I had a decision to make. So Bob thought about that for a while, and he read some things and studied and looked into the Bible. And his conclusion was it took more faith not to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ than to believe who he said he was. And he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ sometime in the late 70s. I don't know exactly when. But for the rest of his life, it was ordered in light of that choice. That was a good choice as well. Bob was an amazing person, and will not forget him. He made a difference in each of our lives, but you made a difference in his life too. We certainly heard that about Linda. He lived another 2 decades at least because of all she did for him. And you know, Bob improved, even his hearing improved. I'm going to have to talk to Linda because I can figure that out. That could be really valuable. But he could hear you towards the end of his life. I remember asking him a couple weeks before he actually ended his journey here on earth, what do you want to do, Bob? He said, read me the book of Hebrews. So I read him the book of Hebrews, and we prayed together. Even though the hymns were on and playing, he wanted to know the Word of God. The Word of God was not just a book. It was listening to God. And praying wasn't just a list of praying. Praying was talking to God for him. It was real. And Bob had a hope, not a hope like, gee, my desire is that this would be true, but a yet unrealized reality. When Bob left this world, when Bob finished his journey, that hope became a reality in his life. And there is no greater desire of his heart than each person here knows that same reality in their lives. In fact, the next song that John's going to do talks about that. And if he were here, you would hear Bob saying these words.
Every thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast, but better far thy face to see and in thy presence rest. And that's true for Bob now. He has seen the Lord's face. He's in his presence resting. This next song that we're going to sing, when this passing world is o'er, is done. When has sunk yon glaring sun. When I stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe, how much we owe to the Lord. We'll all stand before the Lord one day. Bob is doing that now, experiencing all of that. Some of you might know the song Rock of Ages. If you do, you can sing along with us because this song is the same tune as Rock of Ages. When this passing world is done, when has sunk yon glaring sun, when I stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then how much I owe. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then how much I owe. When the praise of heaven I hear, loud as thunder to the ear, loud as many waters' noise, sweet as harp's melodious voice, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then how much I owe. Chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Savior's side, by the Spirit sanctified. Teach me, Lord, on earth to show, by my love, how much I owe. This song became one of Bob's favorites just a few years ago, actually. I don't remember how many years ago, but it was probably within the past 6 or 8 years. Scripture says in John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. That was true of Bob. He had a new life here on earth as well as in heaven. The typical ceremony would have been one where the sub-vets would be at the end and he would hear reveille. But that's not the end of our service. This is the end. We'll pray and then I'll summarize. Maybe I will. Technical difficulties. Why did I pray that? Because when Bob ended his journey here, he woke up in heaven. And we heard what he said when he saw the Lord face to face. I love you, Lord. What greater privilege could there be? What more comfort could there be to us than that? I'd like to close in prayer, and then we're going to have the drum and bugle corps play Amazing Grace. It's 147 and 154 in the red or maroon hymnal under the chair in front of you. Tune doesn't matter to me. I just look at words and sing where I want. So it may be a different tune. So let's pray, and then we'll have them do their part. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you who are creator of heaven and earth, you who hold things together by the word of your power, you knew Bob personally. You cared for him day by day. Sure, you used people to care for him, but you orchestrated that as people listened to the guiding of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for your promise, Father, of eternal life through those who have faith in your Son, Jesus. Thank you that Bob is experiencing that hope and that we can take comfort in knowing that on April 11th, it was a great day for him. We acknowledge that while we have hope on the one hand, we have sorrow on the other. So, Father of all comfort, be near to us today. May your presence be known intimately in this time of sorrow and of joy for Bob. Help us to know in our hearts your love during this difficult time. And so, Lord, we thank you and pray these things in your awesome name. Amen. So afterwards, you're all invited to a lunch. You just go through that door and surprise what we're having. No. We hope you'll stay. We'll hope that you can tell us more stories about Bob and what he meant to you. But now the drum and bugle corps is outside, and you'll hear them. I'll just give thanks for the food, and then hopefully you'll stay and tell us more about your experiences with Bob. We're grateful for the food that you provided, for all those who put in all the hours to make today possible as we remember our dear brother Bob. What an amazing life. What an amazing family. What a privilege to serve him and the family. We pray now you'd use this food to nourish us. We're grateful for your provision. And thank you in your wonderful name. Amen.